What an amazing introduction. Thank you. How cool is this place? This is awesome. I love this. Not going to lie, I walked through the doors and the first thing I thought about, chicken strips and cinnamon rolls. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? R.I.P. Man, it's kind of cool that our oldest son, this is where we did his rehearsal dinner. Because it's like, all right, Matthew, where do you want, where's your favorite thing? And he's like, chicken strips and cinnamon rolls. So that's what we did for rehearsal dinner. We had it here. And what was amazing is that this place used to feed people. Think about that. And now, man, you get to feed people. You get to feed people. It's way better than chicken strips and cinnamon rolls. Oh, that's hard. But, I mean, you're going to be able to feed this community hope and joy. And you're going to be able to feed this community purpose. You're going to feed this community love like they just, man, like they haven't seen, like they haven't known. And, just as the chicken strips and cinnamon rolls used to be everybody's favorite, I believe the psalmist said, just taste and see that the Lord is good. So, man, what people are going to find here when they come through, like, you know, like she prayed while I go, that was so good. I mean, they may come here for different things, but, man, they're going to leave and they're going to experience something that's going to change their life. And I am so honored to be here. And, Matt and Carrie have a very special place in our life, and I just, as I was sitting there and watching them, you know, lead worship, I remember, like, back in the day, we first got to know Matt and Carrie when Matt and I both had more pepper than salt in our beard, you know, and at this point, it's, you know, there's just a pepper flake here and there, you know what I mean? The boys, man, I look at those boys, and I think, man, I'm so proud of them. But you know how it really, really makes me feel? It makes me feel old. I've been dealing with that a lot lately. The glasses, those are new because I can't see anymore. But here's the thing. I thought I could see till I went to the eye doctor. And then she put the little chart on the back. And I'm like, man, your chart's blurry. She's like, it's not the chart. You know, man, thinking about the boys and Liam, Nancy was Liam's favorite. He loved Nancy. And I had to bribe him to make him like me. I had to bring him donut holes every Sunday. He probably doesn't remember that, but I thought it was really funny. He was eating a donut a while ago. I was like, yep, same kid. But, man, there's a lot of things lately that kind of make me feel old. The glasses. I had to fill out something online the other day. And you get to the place where it says your date of birth. And you have to scroll. And I felt like I was doing the wheel on the prices right. You know what I mean? It's like, keep going, going, going. Oh, there it is. And I finally found it. That makes me feel really, really old. I was at our chiropractor a couple weeks ago. And the assistant comes in and says, okay, Mr. Piker, are you having any pain today? And I said, just the normal amount. And she kind of cocked her head and she said, Mr. Piker, the normal amount is zero. And I said, I haven't had zero pain since the year started with 19 something. You know what I mean? So that made me feel really old. We were flipping through channels a couple weeks ago and there was like one of those award shows on TV. And I'm like, oh, let's watch that for a minute. After about 10 minutes, I realized I didn't know any of the people on there. But I can tell you every word from a Bon Jovi album that was released in 1986. You know what I mean? So there's just a lot of things that make me, that are kind of making me feel old. Some of y'all are like, okay, I can do that Bon Jovi thing too. My morning routine and getting ready in the morning. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I mean, you know, it's not a lot to do my hair, obviously. But then before I leave, I've got to get real close to the mirror because now I have hair sticking out of places that shouldn't have hair sticking out of them. You know, that's like a super old man level. You know what I mean? I understand the words of David now more than I ever have. And David wrote this in Psalm 37, and he said, "Once I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread." Just leave that up there for a second. See, I understand this verse more and more with each passing day. I was young. Do you remember back when you were young? Some of y'all are like, you're going to be like 30 years old and go, "Oh, I remember." No, shut up. You don't know what I'm talking about. But like when you were young and you had unlimited energy and you could work all day and you could eat anything you want and, like, you know, not have to worry about it, and you get out of bed and not have all those aches and pains. What David is saying is that as I've aged and matured, I realize some things that I've never realized before. I've learned how to separate the foundational from the fluff. I've learned what really matters. I can now know the real from the fake. And one of those things, he says, is I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I can say the same thing. I was young. Now I'm getting old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You see, as we get older, we learn what the real principles are in life. We learn about what really matters. And some of the other principles that I've learned in my life is this. One is that you can't outgive God. Anybody else learn that? Man, you can't outgive God. Man, no matter what you give, man, God always pours it back. I've learned that every day is a gift. You know, I mean, I've gone through some stuff. I know a lot of you in this room have gone through a lot of different things. And one thing that I've learned is that every single day, man, it's a gift. It's precious. I've learned that having peace is more important than being right. Let's think about that for a minute. Some of us are so concerned that we want to be right and we want everybody to know that we're right that we'll sacrifice the peace in our life. You know what? It's okay to let other people be wrong. You don't have to argue with them and fight with them. Just enjoy the peace. Man, there's very few things that are worth my peace. Kindness matters. That's another principle that I've learned and I believe. Man, just simply be nice. Be kind. Here's another one. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. Oh, man. Some of us really need to learn that one. Just because you think it. And like it says in Corinthians, but the greatest of these is love. That's a principle that I've learned more and more. I can tell you that joy does come in the morning. You know, when you go through stuff, it's hard, it's tough, it's difficult. But man, it doesn't last forever. Joy always comes in the morning. I've also learned that laughter is a good medicine. Right? Man, if I ever lose the ability to make her laugh, we are done. We are done. And that's the biggest amen that she'll ever give right there. Except maybe for the next segment. And I've also learned that communication is the key to a good relationship. Oh, y'all heard her chuckle, didn't you? See, we've been married for 36 years. Pretty impressive, isn't it? 36 years. And we've had some ups and downs. We've had a lot of ups and downs. In fact, you know, like you watch TV and you see the heart monitor chart. You know, we've had a bunch of those. But I can look back, and if I'm honest, every time that we've had difficulty or every time we've had problems in our relationship, it's can be traced back to our lack of communication. It's a pattern. And it's something that I struggle with. And it's really ironic because in my job, I feel like I'm a good communicator. With my friends, with coworkers, I feel like I'm a good communicator. I struggle communicating at times with Nancy. And here's what I can promise you. We can look back through the times and periods in our lives, and when things are going really, really well, we're communicating well. When things are not going well, we're not communicating. And sometimes when things are like really hard and things are really difficult, and I tend to be a person that will withdraw, and I'll not share what I'm really thinking or not sharing my emotions, not sharing my thoughts. And when I do that, what it does is it alienates her and pushes her away. See, I am listening. I'm hearing all those things. But look at this next slide. Go ahead and throw that up. See, everything in our relationship flows from communication. The joy, the peace, the laughter, the intimacy, it all flows out of our communication. I've walked with God most of my life. I came to know Christ when I was a kid, and as I look back on that relationship, which has been 45 years, God, that's old. Man, there's been some ups and downs in that one too. There's been some like really good times. There's been some times where it's like, man, you just know God is there. You just really feel God's presence. And it's like God whispers and you hear his voice. And then, you know, there's been other times that I've like felt like David when David says, my throat is parched crying for you and where are you? It's like, man, he don't even know that I'm here. And there's been times in my relationship with him that, man, it's been so good. And there's been other times it's just been, man, it's been tough. But what I can tell you is that with those ebbs and flows, if I'm honest with myself, I go back and it's all based in my communication with him. You see, go ahead and hit that next slide. Or go back to the good communication one, I'm sorry. Good communication equals a good relationship. My relationship with God is just like my marriage. When I'm in good communication with God, things are really good. When I'm not, they suffer. And so when you think about this, when you think about good communication equals a good relationship, I believe that Jesus shows us this. Jesus shows us this in the way that he lived his life. Jesus had wisdom and mercy and power. But it was because Jesus was a man of prayer. I mean, the disciples saw this. The disciples, they saw the miracles. But it was because of prayer. I think it's interesting that in the Gospels, there are almost 40 different times where it talks about that Jesus specifically prayed. There's 9 different times where they record that Jesus went to a solitary place alone to pray. You see, the disciples didn't just hear about the miracles. They experienced them. They saw the blinded eyes open. They saw the deaf people hear. They saw the lame walk. They ate fish and the loaves where Jesus, you know, took a few little fish and a few loaves and fed 5,000 people. They saw that. They experienced that. They tasted that. But in all of this, But in all of this, they never came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, will you show us how to do a miracle? Hey, Jesus, will you show us how to preach a sermon? But they came to Jesus and they said these words in Luke. Go ahead and throw the next verse up. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they realized something. They realized that everything they saw Jesus do and everything that they saw that he was because Jesus was a man of prayer. And over the next couple weeks, you guys are going to dive into how Jesus answered this question. When he said, hey, teach us how to pray. See, in these verses, Jesus unlocks the key to intimacy with the Father. And if you want your relationship to grow to a place where it's never been, we've got to learn how to pray. Because good communication is a key to a good relationship. All right, so we're going to dive into this a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says this. In response to the question, Jesus then says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus starts off and he says, our Father. You see, we belong to a family. Some of us had great fathers growing up. Some of us, maybe you did not. I had a great dad. Not to say my dad didn't have struggles, but I can promise you this. There was never a time in my life when I was in need that I couldn't call out to my dad and my dad would move heaven and earth to help me meet my need. It doesn't matter if my car was broke down or I was in a situation I didn't know what to do or how to get out of. My dad was there. And Jesus starts off with the recognition of, hey, it's not just something up in space somewhere, you know. He's our Father. And I thought I knew love until we had our kids, you know. And there's something special about a love that you have for your kids. And I've been called all kinds of things. let me rephrase that. I have been called all kinds of things. But I've had all kinds of titles and all kinds of, you know, responsibilities. Man, but when my kids call and go, hey, Dad, you know, or unless you're my daughter and it's like, Daddy, you know, it's completely different, you know. And I can tell you this. They're 33 to 28-ish, 7-ish, 6-ish, 7-ish, sure. And if they were to call right now and say, hey, we need, you know what? We're going to do everything we can to help when they call. See, everything that we have with God is based on a relationship. It's not because of what we do or what we earn or how we, you know, what kind of boxes we check or if we're good enough or we do all the right things. Because I can promise you this, we're not good enough, you know. I grew up in a church where it was like a big list of like do's and don'ts. And it was a lot easier for me to do the don'ts than it was to not do the do's, you know. I mean, I had it all backwards. God's love for me never changed depending on what I did because it's about relationship. He's our Father. He says, our Father in heaven. And then he said, hallowed be your name. See, our communication with God when Jesus said, hey, teach us to pray, it all begins with worship. And praise and worship are a little bit different. Go ahead and throw that first slide up. Praise is a response to what he has done. Can somebody tell me, just shout something for me. Hey, what is God's, what's something God has done for you? Given you a wife? What did we say over here? Somebody said health. What else? What's he done for you? That's awesome. He's healed us. Woke up this morning. He gave us life. Salvation. Joy. Love. What about the blessings? Man, we are so blessed. You see, praise is a response to those things that he has done for us. When you think about his goodness, when you think about how good he's been, how faithful he's been, and you think about all the things that he's provided for us, that's why we praise him. Praise is a response to what he's done. But worship? Worship is recognition of who he is. Think about that for a minute. We praise him because of what he's done. We worship him, and because of who he is. I had no idea the songs you guys were doing this morning. But hit the next slide if you would. Who is he? Well, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that provides. Hit the next one. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals. The next one. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. Jehovah Rahe, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. Jehovah Shammai, the Lord is present and everlasting God. We worship, hallowed be your name. I worship you because you are Jehovah Jireh. Not because you sent money to me last week. That's what you did. I worship you for who you are. Jesus, I love you. And I worship you not because of what you did dying on the cross, but because of who you are. Because the word teaches us that he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's my cornerstone. He's our day star. He's the everlasting Father. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the one that they lined the streets and raised their hands and said, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. He's a King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You see, when we start off that prayer and we start with a recognition of who he is, man, it's easier for me to say, oh, I have a really good wife and I love her because, man, she's a great cook. Or she takes care of our home, or she keeps us on budget. And those things are awesome. But what I really, really love about her is I love who she is. You see, we've got to, when we pray, it changes because if we just think about what he's done, we think about what we need. We think about what he needs to give us. But when we worship, it's not about us. It's all about him. Hallowed be thy name. Over the next couple weeks, you guys are going to walk through this passage. And you're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer. And my prayer is that we would realize that this communication is a key to our relationship. And you know what? I've learned that when I communicate well, things with us are good. And when things are good, there's blessings and benefits that are associated with that. Right? Now, some of y'all are like, oh, me and my wife love each other all the time. She loves me all the time. She doesn't like me all the time. There's a difference. But our relationship is based on our communication. And my prayer is that we would learn how to pray. Amen. Hey, would you bow your heads with me real quick? Father, I pray that more than anything else over the next couple of weeks that you would teach us to pray. And you would show us, God, that praying isn't just bowing our heads before we eat our dinner. But God, it's a lifestyle. And I pray that in what we do and how we respond to you, we find a level of intimacy and a closeness to you that, God, maybe we've just not found before. God, I pray that in our communication that we would not only learn to speak, but God, you would help us to learn to listen. And Father, as I just pray for this space. And God, I pray that just as people come in seeking one thing, that they are able to leave and they found something else. Thank you for your goodness to us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.